This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz. This is an episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms. Hey everyone, this is show 74. So if you want to grab the show notes, go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, scroll down, look for show 74, Encouraging Your Child's Ideas. And there you will find all of the information, some helpful links, as well as some recommendations. Well, today we want to discuss some exciting things about encouraging your child either to become more creative or to develop an idea they already have. And as usual, this podcast is brought to you by Media Angels Publishing. You can visit mediaangels.com for novels, science unit studies, history classes, science classes, and more. Well, I'm excited because I have so enjoyed doing a series of podcasts on great ideas. So if you haven't already gone to Vintage Homeschool Moms and looked up those podcasts, you are in for a treat. Today we're going to discuss encouraging your child and what that entails. So as I was talking to a friend about this episode, she said, well, what if your child doesn't have not even one creative bone in his body? And so I laughed and said, well, I'll trade you. I'll give you a few of mine for one of yours. But all kidding aside, some kids just need a little bit of help and encouragement to start giving you their ideas, and it will really spur on their creativity. You know, when I think about being creative, I am recalling my different children and how they approached a blank piece of paper. I had some kids that would tackle that blank paper with their thoughts and ideas and, you know, creative stories, where the others looked like they were in shell shock. They didn't know where to begin or how to formulate their sentences or even what they wanted to write about. And so, you know, like giving a writing prompt, that often helps spur on a child and their ideas. The same thing can take place when you're encouraging your child to come up with creative ideas. So in this audio, we're going to discuss some things that will help your child, but not only that, it will also help the child that needs a little bit of prodding to become a little bit more creative. So, you know, when we talk about creativity or thinking up a great idea or coming up with an invention or something like that, usually it stems from a need. So that's where I would start with your child. Is there anything you would like to see improved is what I would ask. You know, is there something in your life that's difficult? So some of the kids would say, well, tying my shoes is difficult, or, you know, I would like some kind of automatic, you know, robot to clean my room, you know. So you go from the simple to the grandiose. And so, you know, depending on your child and what they, you know, what their major problem is, you know, it really can help in that way in narrowing down, you know, something that they might want to explore further or, you know, talk about in discussing ideas. And, you know, it's really important to encourage your child, even if you may think the idea is silly or non-productive or it isn't going to go anywhere. And I like to recount a story that really stems from a science fair project. And if you're doing science fair projects, I do have a little handy dandy little book on the topic. It even made it into our local libraries here and some across the nation. And it's called An Insider's Guide to Successful Science Fair Projects. I know it's a mouthful. But anyway, in that book, I discussed, you know, how to create a science fair project. Well, one of the things I highly recommend, especially in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, is that you do some sort of a series. So if your child is doing something and experimenting on a specific topic or idea in 6th grade, then you develop it further in 7th and further in 8th. And that's what my daughter did, although she started younger. And I believe her main project was in either 6th or 7th grade. I don't remember exactly when now. So she had a third year project, and her first project was creating a better stain remover. And the reason was, out of my two oldest children, I would say to her, you know, your brother doesn't have all the stains that you have in your clothes, and these stain removers are not working. And somehow her clothes were always the dirtiest. I think part of it is being a girl, her clothes were a little bit more light colored than his were. But I swear, she just had stains that would not come out. And so we were talking about that one day, and she goes, you know what, I want to do a science fair project that will explode something. So I said, okay, you want to explode something. You know, I'm trying to remain calm here. You know, good homeschool mom that I am. I want to encourage. And I said, well, it sounds like it's something, you know, in chemistry. So let's look at that. Let's look at some chemical properties. And so one thing led to another. And then we were talking about, you know, what is a need or what is something that needs to be, you know, made better, or can you, you know, tweak something, or, you know, without starting from the ground up and inventing something. You know, we were not doing the invention convention, which we live in Southwest Florida, and Thomas Edison's winter home resides in Fort Myers, where I live. So they have an invention convention every year. But we didn't do that one. You know, we stuck to the science. And so I said, you know, what is something that you can do? What are some chemicals you can mix together? So she did some research and so forth. And by her third year, she had perfected what she called, it was D-2. And it was because she had samples A, B, C, D the first year. And then the second year, she had tweaked. D was the best concentration. So she had tweaked D in the next year. And then in the third year, she had tweaked what was the best one, which was D2. And her biggest problem was that her stain remover worked great the day she concocted it, but it slowly deteriorated over time and it wasn't as effective. So what she was doing in her third year was making it more effective and stronger. And so her active ingredient was hydrogen peroxide. Now, bear with me. I know this isn't a whole topic about science fairs, but it will give you an idea of her thought process. Well, when we looked up hydrogen peroxide, we found out that by nature, by definition, it is an unstable element. So how do you stabilize it? Well, she came up with all of these different ideas. Part of it was inertia, using a thicker concoction to keep it from, you know, the sunlight, and also, of course, keeping it in a stronger container. And then she had ordered a lab-grade hydrogen peroxide from someone we knew that ran a lab, and we were able to get some. And so the end of the story was she was not able to stabilize this liquid hydrogen peroxide that was a 30-something strength, 30%. However, she still placed in the science fair because of her, the way she had formulated her her, you know, conclusion and what her thought process was in doing it. Well, years later, I bought OxyClean. And if you look at the label of OxyClean, you will see that its main ingredient is hydrogen peroxide. So what they did with OxyClean was they created a liquid. Now they have a spray, and they also have a granulated powder that allows it to become stabilized, and it doesn't deteriorate because you activate it by adding the water. So my daughter all these years ago, you know, pre-2000, and we're at 2015 as of this recording, you know, came up with this idea for OxiClean. Can you believe it? And I was trying to be very encouraging. It was very difficult because this is an unstable element that we're trying to stabilize, and we are not, you know, chemistry majors or, you know, an engineer. And we did get some help from some people that were, that was their area of expertise, because, of course, we are homeschoolers and we use our resources. And they were even saying, you can't do this. However, the fact that she's still placed in the conference, I believe she came in second or third place in chemistry, in the regional fairs, as well as the fact that that's where her thought processes took her, is really the basis of this discussion today. And what I am going to recommend, you know, first of all, you're going to start with a need, and then you are going to look at the scientific method. Now, you can use the scientific method as detailed or as loosely as you would like. And I am pulling out a copy of my book, Teaching Science and Having Fun, and I'm going to read you the scientific method directly from it. Okay, so the section I'm going to read is the student scientific method checklist. There's one that I have that is a basis of the scientific method, but this is really good for the students. And so you can ask your children these questions or even jot these down and have them answer them. So the first is the question, what am I trying to find out? What is the point of my experiment, or in this case, your invention, or developing your great idea? And what is the problem I want to solve? Number two, research. What information can I find to help me in getting my answer? Can I read it out of a research book? Can I look online? Can I ask somebody like we did with a chemical engineer? Is there a scientific dictionary or a book that I can look into? You know, where am I going to research my idea? The third is hypothesis, you know, an educated guess. So what do I think will happen based on my research? What do I think the outcome will be? With an idea, do I want to further develop it? Have I researched and decided it's a dead end and maybe I want to tweak my idea? So this really, this step really helps. If I haven't been able to find much information during my research, what is my guess of the outcome? And again, it helps your child to think, to become more creative, and to really have that deeper level of thinking. You know, parents, let's face it, a lot of times we're getting workbooks so that kids can think creatively. And I'm telling you that these kinds of activities are so much better, and they really don't take a lot of time. It's more facilitating and giving your child the tools that they need to really awaken what is what I consider real learning potential. Okay, so number four would be materials. So if you need some things for your activity, what would they be? Paraphrasing here as I read through my book, it's not exactly as it's written here. Okay, so number five would be the procedure. What are the series of steps I'm going to do? Is my procedure detailed enough? In the event that I must duplicate this, will I have trouble following these steps? Very, very important. If you are successful, you want to be able to follow those steps. Have you ever made a great recipe and it came out fabulously, but you tweaked something and you said, oh yeah, I'll write it down later, I'll remember, and then you don't? So again, keeping careful, detailed steps on what you're doing will be very valuable, especially if what you did worked out really well. And then you want to test your hypothesis, so you're going to perform some experiments. Or if you're creating something, you're going to do a prototype, try to make whatever it is. I love the little bungee cord shoelace ties now that are elastic and the kids can lace them through if they're having trouble and they're little. As they get older, I like kids to learn how to tie. I think it's a very good skill for fine motor coordination. With really little ones, obviously they can't do it. So there's Velcro shoes and all kinds of other things. And see, that's another great idea that somebody came up with, the invention of Velcro, but in addition, all of the uses for it. Okay, so number seven, observation and organizing data. What is happening? And step number six, what do you observe? What can you measure? Am I writing all the information down so I can have a clear conclusion? And number eight is your conclusion. What happened? What took place in step seven? Was a conclusion the same as my hypothesis? If the outcome turns out different than expected, can I figure out why? Okay, as I said, I paraphrased my book here, but it gives you an idea that using the scientific method is a fabulous way. So we have your need and we have your scientific method. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I'll have a few more ideas to encourage your child to develop their great idea.
Do your children seek the truth? How about within the pages of a novel? And where can you find a novel that is Christ-centered and not tainted with the lies of evolution? Well, right here, within the pages of the Truth Seekers Mystery Series by Media Angels Publishing. As a mom and owner of Media Angels, my daughter and I co-authored a series of books that would teach a love of finding the truth and include a focus on the truth about God's creation. I hope you join us within the pages of the novel or anytime at mediaangels.com. I pray you always seek truth, His truth.
Hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and today we are talking about encouraging your child's great idea. This is episode 74 at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com. So if you want to see show notes and additional suggestions and links, visit Vintage Homeschool Mom. Scroll down for podcast or episode number 74, and you'll see the information there. I also want to give a shout out to other shows on this network. There are some fabulous shows that you will want to catch. And if you visit UltimateHomeschoolRadioNetwork.com, you will find links to wonderful shows on this Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Okay, well, we've been talking about encouragement and creativity and ways that you can be creative. And one of the things I wanted to mention earlier is brain dumping. You know, they call it a lot of different things, like brainstorming is the real word for it. But you can do this very easily with your child. So if they have a great idea, you can list that idea and maybe some ways that they can go about solving it, and just have them give you whatever they can think of as quickly as they can. Or if you're trying to encourage your child to be creative, then you can do that as well. You know, talk about some needs and then make a chart. So you would put something like tying your shoelaces at the top, and then underneath you could list some ideas. And then you can help as well, but just give your kids a time to maybe think a little bit, or they can come back to this later. Just a time so that they could, you know, express their thoughts before we helpy moms or dads, you know, jump in and want to steal the show, so to speak. Also, be encouraging. Sometimes some of the things, like I shared with you earlier, my daughter's, you know, wanting to stabilize an unstable element. I did, in all honesty, try to talk her out of it. However, I'm glad I didn't, so we could have this life lesson of how we did not invent OxyClean. But, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, it really does pay to encourage, even if it's a quote-unquote failed experiment. There can be some merits in it. And it also goes to show you that our kids think differently than we do. You know, especially if you've been an encouraging parent, the sky is the limit. You know, maybe your child has been in a public or private school and they are coming home for the first time. We actually just did a podcast on the topic, and it will be on Vintage Homeschool Moms. As of this recording, it's not live yet, but it is coming. It is episode number 79 upcoming. And so, you know, I discussed with the mom her, you know, taking her children from the public setting and homeschooling, and she had a lot of really great thoughts about that. But, you know, a lot of times the kids just want to be told. It's not even just the kids who have been in the public or private system and have had a whole lot of rules to adhere to, but sometimes our kids just want to be told what to do. Having them brainstorm really helps to break that shell, encourage them to think differently, and to explore some options. So I would highly recommend that. You know, encouraging creativity is so important, and fleshing out an idea is important as well, because then you can discard the things that, you know off the bat are not going to work. And by taking a fresh look at the scientific method and using that as your basis, that will really help you and your child to, you know, get a handle on that. One of the things I want to recommend is another show that I recorded on the topic, and it's called Developing a Great Idea. And I have some steps there. I believe there were 9 steps to developing your idea. So you can go back and listen to that one as well. You know, I have had children who have done some things that I've been very proud of. For example, I have what I call, you know, Nicholas is my fix-it kid. And he's repaired a go-kart, small engines. He had a little repair business, a small engine repair business while he was in high school. He was fixing not only the neighbors' weed eaters and blowers, but also a landscape companies were bringing them his stuff, their stuff to him because he did such a great job. So, you know, those are the kinds of things that, you know, are the kids that think outside of the box and teach themselves. His dad and I are totally unmechanical. The plumber down the street once told me not to have my husband, who has a construction company, ever fix anything because it was easier for him to come do it than it was to fix what my husband did. So just, you know, off the bat, we are not mechanically inclined, but our son is. And so he's researched and learned how to do all kinds of things. Just this weekend, his latest project was an air horn for his truck. Of course, we're talking about, you know, how loud can a horn be and do we really need an air horn for your truck. However, he has been, you know, doing all kinds of experimenting in the back. And it keeps him engaged. It keeps him thinking. And, you know, while I'm not excited about a truck that has this loud horn, I'm really happy that he's looking into these different things. Oh, my gosh. Okay. My daughter, Christina, my second oldest with the stain remover, is the co-author in the Two Seekers Mystery Series that we wrote together. And so she came up with a creative storyline that had nothing to do with our finished product. And so it was a lot of trial and error. It was actually 2 years of her just playing around writing a novel before I took the child seriously and sat down with her and said, okay, you know, let's work through this 80 typed pages here. And so, you know, we sat down and we developed and finally came up with a storyline for our novels that are still in print today. So, you know, again, that's a series of a great idea that she had and how we developed it, you know, through the years. And so we did get help from our friends. We had people read the books. We had scientists come in and read some of the topics that we talked about, especially if I cited a particular scientist's work. I sent the manuscript to him, or through a God incident, which is a story for another time, you know, they were able to read sections of it. So, you know, it's amazing how you can take a great idea and then have this finished product that actually, in our case, is still in print today. And then my youngest, and I've talked about him in previous episodes, that he started using his iPad mini to make these stop motion videos. And what was really amazing to me, besides that and how he figured it out, and it was an app, and a friend of his talked to him about it, and his friend just dabbled in it, but didn't really have the extensive projects that Michael has worked on. And he's created all kinds of characters. Like, I didn't realize until later that he was using Sharpie to, you know, use permanent marker to color in some different things. And he was looking at how to do some special effects and things like that. And so, you know, these are ideas that can be, you know, as basic as fixing something, a new way to fix something, writing a book, trying to stabilize a chemical, or creating stop motion videos. And that's just in my house. And I'm sure each of you has a story. I would love for you to come to Vintage Homeschool Moms, look for episode 74, and leave me a comment. There's a place to do that on our website. And also, you know, continue encouraging your children. Give them time. That is really the key here. I've talked about this before, and that is giving your children time to think, time to regroup, time to, you know, do some things on their own, and also to be able to develop their ideas. Because if we don't give them time, parents, let's face it, it's really difficult for them, especially as busy as we are, and we tend to be. But these are so, these things are so important. They're life skills that they can learn, especially as we, you know, approach our lives and we look at things. You know, sometimes we don't have a solution and we get stuck. I remember talking to a lady one time who had a roll of toilet paper on the floor, I kid you not, because she had no idea where to go to buy the little rod, the dowel rod or whatever that little spring rod is to hold the toilet paper in the dispenser. Her husband was a businessman. They did very well financially, and that just blew my mind that, you know, the local department store, houseware store, I don't want to name specific names of stores here, but, you know, she had no idea. And so she said, "Was this something your husband could do?" I said, "This is something I can even do. You know, it will cost you all of like $2 at the store." And I told her where to go, and, you know, she thought I was a genius. And I think, you know, this lady who's a college graduate, but I think sometimes we look at these problems and ideas and it just seems overwhelming. And if we take little bite-sized pieces and chunks, we break them down. We look at them like, you know, you do under the scientific method that I shared with you, and you look at them, this idea, and you break it down into small pieces. That is something that you can figure out or get the resources or help you need to figure it out. So I hope that this episode has been a benefit for you. I've enjoyed talking to you about this. I'm going to do one more Great Ideas in a series, and that is on home organization. And since that is something that is outside of my scope of expertise, I am going to be interviewing my daughter, Christina. Yes, the same one who created the stain remover as well as wrote, co-authored the novels with me. She's now an adult with kids of her own. And Christina is actually an organizational genius. In fact, she talks about at some point when the children are a little bit older, starting a business, because she is really good at it and she loves it. And as I sit in my messy office recording this, I cannot wait to get her over here and tackle my office. So we will talk to you soon. Hey, stop by, say hi to us on our Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network, on our Facebook, Twitter, and also on iTunes. I have been remiss in asking you guys to go over to iTunes and rate this show. I would really appreciate it. Leave me a comment, and as always, share it with your friends. God bless, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.